Corrections meeting to order, if we could stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to
the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Everyone had a good weekend.
Do we have approval of the April 1st minutes?
Motion, Potter.
Okay. Is there any comments? If not, we have a motion and second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Carries. Start right out with Tim. Morning, Tim.
Good morning. Got several items for you this morning. First is the Tyler CAD contract extension. We're in the process of going through the update of the, or not update, but the new CAD installation. That contract expired at the end of April, and we are about halfway through that project. We're expected right now for turn on in October, so I'd like to extend that contract through till the end of the year.
Great. Does anyone have any questions for Tim?
Cost?
That was a budgeted item, I think. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, this is just extending the contract.
It's just extending the existing contract.
The cost on this one stays the same.
Okay, yeah. We're just extending the length of time.
Right, the length of the time. Right, no change orders as of this.
The next one is different, but okay. The cost will remain neutral on this one.
I'll move it.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. And you haven't had any problems with them, Tim, being slow on their end?
So we did have an issue with the installation of the servers, which put us about 2 month delay. Once the servers came, they had to be installed by HP. So they were about a two month delay out from when the servers were delivered to when they could get a technician here to install the servers. So that's where we're at right now.
At least they're keeping you informed. That's
yeah. We originally thought we were going to be about an August start time. And right now we're looking at October.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not unique to this implementation process. We were that way with Munis and some of our other softwares where, you know, everyone tries very hard to reach deadlines, but you don't know what you don't know. And something mission critical like this, we want to make absolutely sure that it's really ready to go before we cut over.
Yeah, we're scheduled right now for next week to start the first configuration of the new software. So that'll be Nick and Rob from my department, Rob Conrad, working with Tyler to start the configuration and what the actual CAD program is going to look like.
And I guess the only other thing that I'd share, and it's just more of an historical FYI for folks, is as much as those of us who have been here have tried to, I guess, not eliminate, but reduce the firewalls, not technical firewalls, but organizational firewalls between IT and 911. For a lot of years, IT had no role in 911. And we have some expertise. So I will say Tim, Kenny, Rob, Cody, they're all doing a great job so that IT is interfacing very, very well since we do have on staff expertise to be able to help them. So that's been a good thing.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Carries.
All right. So now the painful one. So because of, we have a delay.
Not if you want your calls answered.
So because we have a delay, we need to extend the current dispatch now CAD for an additional 6 months. This is not a budgeted item because, again, we anticipated being done by August. So we're asking to extend the current dispatch now CAD contract 6 months with Central Square for a total of $132,650.60.
Which basically equals a half a year.
Yep.
The normal rate.
It equals half a year.
So they're not jabbing us for.
No. That was my first question to Jim, and he provided the information back from the vendor, and it's basically, if we had them all year, we would have paid that.
Right.
So I'll move. Right. And they would not offer us a month to month. It was 6 months or 1 year. That was their offer.
Okay, we have a motion by Scott. Do we have a second for discussion?
A second for discussion.
All right, we have a second for discussion. Tim, where do you, if that's a non-budgeted item, where's that money going to come from?
I've yet to really talk with Jack about where we're going to look at trying to come up with that. We could potentially look at the project, the 911 project funds.
My recommendation, and it's a good point, Jeff, if you're comfortable with the motion, I would say contingent fund, just because that once we take it out of that project, it's hard to get it back in. And we know that whether it be 5 years from now, we're going to have to spend out of the CAD project. So I'd recommend contingent fund for that.
And we're also looking at a furniture project probably in the next year or two to probably come out of that CAD project. So I would agree with Jack. That might be a better direction.
And there's enough in there with no problems.
Yeah, we haven't hit contingency this year, so we about $1 million in there.
Okay. Scott, would you want to amend your motion to take the money from contingency?
Yeah, that's fine.
Would you want to change your second?
Bottom? Yes.
So we have a motion and a second to approve this with taking the funds from the contingency.
Can I just ask one more question?
You sure can.
So the current provider, we're extending them 6 more months. The new provider, we're paying for the same 6 months for their package, even though we're not able to turn it on yet.
Well, we're paying.
And it's kind of simplistic, but it's what it sounds like to me.
We're just on the first, on the new CAD, it's just extending the contract because the contract that was written ended in the end of April for some reason. And I'm not sure why, because we had a startup date of August. It should have went all the way to August.
So it would. I mean, we can bring it back to you. It's a good point. The development cost, the implementation cost would stay the same. So that's my understanding of what we're extending. The service cost of, okay, now you have the hosted solution you're using,
right,
would be prorated, in my opinion, because we're not turning it on.
Right.
Right. So.
So is the back half of that 6 months of the new service, is that budgeted?
The new service, yes.
The new service, yes.
So it was prorated. This actually wouldn't be 130.
It may be an offset.
I would anticipate, and we'll bring it back to you. We'll remember to ask them. Should be an offset. Don't know exactly what that is, but it should be.
Okay.
Yeah, it's based on milestones. So I don't think we're paying for that until we get to a certain point, if I remember correctly, Jen.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to get to certain milestones before we make payments.
Yeah, we'll continue to make the payments for their development, but not for the actual base service once we're turned on.
So it'll be, like you said, it'll be an offset of something.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
All right. Next is priority dispatch. And just going through and cleaning up some contracts and things within the 911 department. And I look back and it doesn't appear that we have a current contract with Priority Dispatch. This is the company that we use for our medical priorities for dispatch services. So basically, it's the card set that the dispatchers use. When somebody calls in, has a medical emergency, they have to go by a certain criteria of medical information that they provide to the caller. The company that we use is Priority Dispatch. We have a current outstanding quote for $3,465. And I just want to make sure that we have a current contract with them. And so I can pay this invoice.
And it does, my recollection, Tim, we haven't talked about this in a lot of years, but there's a few of these dispatch cards, for lack of a better term, that are used across the United States. But having this is a tremendous backstop on liability, because if they walk through an accredited and approved, recognized service in terms of A, you know, caller said A, you ask B, those sort of things, that does, we've always talked about how that really reduces our liability.
We have a motion to have a contract. We have a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any other questions for Tim? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Okay, next is a budget transfer for the FY 20 State Interoperable Communications Grant. This transfer you should have received as part of your package. This is just transferring funds from our major equipment line item to the tower lease line item to pay an outstanding tower lease.
I'll move it.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
We have a second. Is there any questions for Tim? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Okay, next is our dreaded generator maintenance bid. So we've been to you a couple of times, we originally asked for a generator maintenance bid. Then we came back and said that the vendor was going to accept the previous terms. And now apparently the vendor is not going to accept the previous terms. So we got to go back out to bid for the generator maintenance. So
is this just a motion to go out?
Motion to go to bid. Yes.
So move, Potter.
Second.
Okay. Oh, yeah, since the admin code.
So with the admin change, I'm being informed that we don't actually need to give permission to go out to bid.
But all right.
There's your FYI.
But you brought us FYI. Thank there you very go. Much, Tim.
All right. And the last item is the major equipment change. So we came to you a couple of months ago, changing a Suburban to a Tahoe. So we had two Tahoes in the major equipment. We cannot get the Tahoes. They're in a retooling right now. So we're looking at going to a mini bid for Expeditions.
I'm a Ford guy, so I'll make them.
I am not, however, but.
But not the bid.
No, it just, we specified the make. We
specified the make.
Okay.
So we have to, yeah.
So we have a
motion. I'll reluctantly second it.
So we have a motion and a second to change your bid from Chevrolet to Ford.
Repair daily.
Yep.
For to an Expedition. Thanks. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Okay. That's all I have for you. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
We're ready, Brooks.
Okay, so we have three things on the docket this morning. First is just kind of an FYI. We are seeing, I sent some of you an email, we're seeing an increase in the need for expert witnesses this year in an unpredicted methodology or number. We always budget that number relatively low because there are times we don't use it at all. And that number traditionally ends up back into our budget. This year we're getting socked. I've got a murder case coming up that's got a mental health expert. I hired him over to Allegheny County. It was $15,000 as a special prosecutor. So we expect that. We have several other cases where there are mental health experts involved. We're doing the first Frye hearing we've done here in Steuben County in my 30 years, which deals with whether or not something is acceptable in science. And that calls for some very, very serious experts. And we've been lucky enough to find some in Rochester that are local, but I know the public defender's got three or four coming in from out of the area. So those are just two cases, but we're seeing more and more expert witnesses on a more routine basis. So we're probably going to have to come back and ask for some money into that line of our budget as we go forward. There's not a problem right now. We haven't gotten the bills yet, but we are looking for people as we go forward. So I just wanted to make you aware of that as we go forward, that it's becoming a more pressing issue than it has been in the past. Part of it is we're seeing more and more cases with mental health components come through the criminal justice system, where it's being recognized more. A part of it is just some changes in the way we're doing business. So, but either way, it's also the case we have right now. But either way, we're going to see some bigger numbers there this year. We have to come back for some additional money for that we had not budgeted for.
How much do we have in the budget?
I don't think it's a whole lot.
$5,000 or $10,000.
$5,000 or $10,000.
What is the exposure you're thinking?
It could be 50 or 60. I mean, I'm thinking for Dr. Hoteling alone, it was a little over 15,000 in Allegheny County for 2 days of testimony and a report. This is a murder case. That's the one in the city of Corning. It's been pending forever. I just got notice from the public defender's office. They want a collision reconstructionist and a toxicologist and a DBI case. So I've got a collision reconstructionist, but I'll have to get a toxicologist. In a couple of other mental health cases, we're going to have to hire experts. I know in the, so particularly the Fry hearing, those two witnesses alone, that's about a $15,000 or $17,000 process just to get them each down for a half a day of testimony. It's the director of the Flom Eye Institute and the director of the Bavona Center who does child abuse stuff. So those are the two we're calling. I think there are three or four on the other side. They may have to sit through testimonies. That's going to be a protracted and expensive program. So,
and for new legislators, it seems that especially times like Brooke said, we have years where we spend hardly anything out of it, but years where there are even a single murder trial, it has gone over what we budget. So one of the reasons you carry contingency is this is the line that you really don't know what the need is going to be necessarily.
I would rather under budget than have to come back and ask them to put $50,000 in there every year and put it back in at some stage. So that's what we've traditionally done. So
thank you for letting us know.
So that's thing one. Do you want to talk about the investigators?
Sure.
All right. So the other issue, second issue is our investigator salaries. When we created a part-time investigator positions, first one was Walt Mackney. I think that was in 2013 or 14. We set the salary at what police officers are allowed to make by statute when they, without reduction in their retirement when they come back to work for a public entity. And that's what we've been paying, which is either $35,000 or $36,000 a year. That is not increased by statute at all. we are having a problem with that right now because when we give our people, two of our people have cars assigned to them, our CAC investigators, because they're on call 24/7 and run all around the county with the CAC mobile unit when it goes out. Those cars are taking them over the $35,000. So they're facing a reduction in their retirement because they're driving a county owned vehicle to go do their job. That has led us to pursue a 211 waiver, allows us to waive that number. It's the same thing that the undersheriff gets every few years to allow them to make more than that $35,000 to take account for the cars. So we have a temporary waiver in place for all of our part-time investigators right now. We are also seeing that there is legislation out there. Currently, it's been through one committee in the Senate, one in the Assembly, and moving forward to increase that number to somewhere around $65,000 a year. Obviously, we can't afford to pay our people $65,000 a year. It doesn't make any sense for part-time folks. But what I would propose to do is increase the salaries for our people. We're going to try to get permanent 211 waivers, so we're not coming back every year. We have a 3-month waiver right now. And in talking with Nate, the thing we need to do is make sure we list our salaries at where they ought to be when we do the waivers, so that we're not telling somebody it's a $35,000 a year job and they're not applying for it, and then we're paying something more than that down the road. So what I'm asking to do is increase the salaries for our investigators at some point, either next year or in relatively near future. It's 42,000.
So there's a couple requests with this. The investigators currently are in a grade F in the management scale. They're near the top with this halftime salary. Putting them up the couple steps that are left would only give about a $2,000 raise ish. So what we probably need to do is to raise this title to grade G. Which the highest step would put us around a little over 42,000, about 42,098. So it would essentially, you'd need to take action to raise them the grade and then allow us to appoint at that higher step.
All of these folks have more than 20 years experience, most more than 25 years experience in law enforcement. They've left the state police, you know, making $150,000 or $160,000 a year to come work for us. That number is a little less than half of what a Steuben County Sheriff's investigator makes. So we're trying to avoid any conflict with the union over that by picking the number at that level. And again, they're probably the best bargain we get because they come with no benefits and no retirement, and they can do an awful lot of things in our office. We have to have at least really 2.5 of them right now to comply with the CAC grant, which is a multi-million dollar grant. And then we have drug stuff is starting to pick up again. We've had that investigator for a long time. So that's what we're looking to do, is increase these salaries as part of the 211 waiver process, so that when we do advertise, we're advertising accurately and we don't get don't run into trouble if we do get the increase before the legislation passes.
What are the odds, Brooks, of getting a permanent waiver?
Pretty good. We got one for Walt initially for his position, but it's individual to the person. So I would, they gave us the temporary waivers with almost no question whatsoever. Given the nature of these jobs and requirements we have for them, which is a lot of law enforcement experience, supervisory experience, specialized training, I think we have no problem getting a waiver for these folks.
In New York State, when they do these 211 waivers, one of the biggest criteria and the reason that, he got the temporaries on them is they want us to advertise for qualified candidates who aren't retired. But that's very unlikely with this sort of position to happen. So it's kind of just pencil pushing to get through. Once we theoretically don't have candidates that aren't retired, generally they'll go right through because you can't. You know, you got to be able to staff the positions. And if you can't find folks that's all they're looking for is to have people, you know, that aren't pulling retirement as well as salary, if there's people qualified to do that. So.
And the other piece here is the state police have just called back and opened up the doors to their retirees to come back, work at full salary and get their retirement at the same time. So they are folks under 59 that would apply to I think 3 out of 4 of our people. So they could go back if they want to. Luckily, they like doing what we do more than they like working for the state police. And I mean, nobody's saying they're going to leave, but I want to make sure that we keep them happy and do the right thing.
Does anybody have any questions for Brooke?
Go ahead. That increase is not unreasonable at all. I would support that. I guess the question is the difference between an F grade and a G grade. Is it still fits within the job that they do that you can just bump them a letter?
Yeah, I mean, we actually looked at going one more just to give a little more cushion for the future, but that puts it into a realm of positions where I wouldn't feel comfortable doing that. So I think we're stuck there. And I would assume, you know, when the eventually the salary grid gets its, you know, its modifications over the years, we should at least stay close. I can't guarantee we won't have to look at it, but right now I think the one grade is the way to go.
Okay.
Was that a motion, Scott?
He's not asking for one yet.
Yeah. If you're okay, I think we hold off until Brooks and Nate tell us we have to, because if we change the grade, then technically we should change the salaries of everyone who's there. Even if we're not bumping them up to the new salary, we should change them to a salary that is within that new grade. So we'd have to amend their salary somehow. And I don't think we have that information just yet, because our payroll system will get probably spit back out if you say, okay, they're grade and step, but you're trying to auto plug an actual salary.
That's a good system that does that.
Yeah.
Oh, what I would like to do is be able to, when we advertise or we go back for the 211 waiver, say that's the salary we're advertising for. And so that we can advertise for it once the advertisement closes and the applicants, because I have my people reapply because that's what they do. And then we can change the salary down the road.
So, but yeah, I would like an understanding of the group. If everyone's comfortable with that, normally we change it before, but in this case, it seems like the better process is to change it after, but you'll see something. And we've done it once or twice before where we have talked to you about the fact that, yeah, this grade would like to change. I think we did a planner where we advertised both, even though we actually didn't have a planner. We had a senior planner, but we talked to you about, are you comfortable with us doing that? As long as there's no objections, I think, and Nate's fine in terms of putting that out, I think there's no issues.
Okay. That's good. Thank you very much.
Can I just do it now, or do we need a vote or something?
You can work with him.
Okay.
And post with that understanding that you could post the new salary range. And then once you have it, we can bring it back formally to change it.
Okay. Now we had one additional personnel item that is off that we were going to add to the agenda, dealt with the part-time to a full-time. Do you want me to do that now or at the end?
It's up to Jeff, but since Nate's there.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you guys are okay. There. Go ahead.
Well, you recall last year I had an 80% position. I downgraded to a 50% position because I had a part-time person and I sort of lost 0.3 of a person. We had talked about upgrading it to a full-time position last year, but I didn't have any candidates who were interested in that position. I now have a vacant part-time ADA position, thanks to Carol's son. And what I would like to do, because I have a candidate, is change that back to a full-time ADA position. I have a candidate also. I'd like to set a salary for that candidate above mid-grade at, let's 95 or 96.
So be grade J, step 9, 95,885.
That's the same amount we are paying another ADA we just recently hired in a full-time spot. Almost the exact same level of experience. So this is somebody coming in with 15 years experience who has worked in my office in the past and can step right in with zero training, go to work. So it's sort of it's a two-step application. One is to turn it back into a full-time position, and two is to then set the salary at that number.
Is there some questions for Brooks on this?
I'll make the motion.
Does it have to be two separate ones?
Yeah, it should be two separate motions. Or if you don't care, I don't care. All right, there you go.
Okay, I'll second it for discussion.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second for discussion. Go ahead.
So you're basically replacing two part-time positions with a full-time position.
No, what I'm doing is turning we had an 80% position. We turned it down to a 50% right. position. I'm turning it back to 100% position. So I'm adding 0.2 of a position to the office by doing this from where I was last year. So what I'm doing is turning a part-time position into a full-time position.
Okay.
So what we had done, Fred, was we had made it so that there was no longer an 80%.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
So we're just taking a 50 and making it a full.
Okay, the person that was in the part-time position is leaving or has left.
Well, we have somebody who was leave. Yes. Who was I have an open position sitting right now with nobody in it.
Okay. Understood.
So where's the additional money coming from?
Well, we've had an empty ADA position for 3 or 4 months. We've had an empty clerk's position for 5 months we're into May now. So 4.5 months.
So you have it within your budget.
We should have it within budget. Yes.
Okay.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any other questions? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. And then Noel's got an update on the TDP program for anybody.
I passed out just the first quarter payouts to the municipalities. If anyone has any questions, I'll field those. Currently, the budget is on track for previous years. We may see an uptick a little bit. Obviously, one of the largest agencies that police our county is down on numbers. So obviously, that's generally priority goes to emergency calls, not to traffic enforcement. So I believe we'll probably be on the same track as the previous 2 years currently from looking at the numbers. Questions?
I don't have any questions. I just thank you for this list. I appreciate it.
You can tell where the interstates are.
Yeah. Yes, you can. No question. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
All right. Guess we already did the discussion first. We're on to you, Jack.
All right. Thank you. So, sort of tagging on to the discussion related to driver diversion and the discussion that we had last month about some of the requests that we received from law enforcement. The recommendation is going to be a little bit different than sort of the title that this is under. After talking with a number of staff, I believe I'll speak for myself that the cleanest and most effective way we know that, or we have historically seen excess funds from driver diversion that go into the general fund at the end. They're not, sometimes we've set them aside in capital projects or other things, but certainly there are additional funds coming to the bottom line of the general fund. I think the most straightforward process and following where I took from the last discussion is this committee establishing a framework to pass on to both the finance committee and the full board of a law enforcement grant program. To start with $50,000, 5 applications possible each year, $10,000 max application for outside agencies. The process then would be just like with the public works demos. We'd come up with a a real quick form or even just receive letters like we have in some of these cases that come to my office. They then come to public safety. They would go to finance and to the full board for allocation. But that way you have the framework around some of the requests coming in. As we talked about with Brooks last month, any internal costs would be outside of this whole thing. Any of those other things would not be. This is for external right. law enforcement agencies. Because as we've mentioned, we do have a few requests that are pending. So if this sounds like an okay idea with you folks, it would be amending the budget. We would essentially create, you know, a category for this with, you know, the 50K in there. We would have to transfer it from general fund balance to fund it initially. So that would be part of your motion. But if you're okay with that process and essentially policy, that's what I'm recommending. I think it'd be a pretty straightforward and give the agencies an understanding that, you know, the county does have some funds that are technically coming from the general fund that the county is willing to work with. And then part of it would be an intermunicipal agreement because all of these would be municipal agencies that we would sign an intermunicipal agreement with them upon your approvals. So that's sort of where we landed on that. And then any internal additional costs or things like that would have to come back to you separate from that, like they normally have.
So do we go ahead, Hilda?
So what are we currently spending on those resources?
Really nothing. We've done some
offs.
Yeah. Okay. One offs. I mean, maybe a couple Brooks and that was internal, external, but the active shooter SRO things that came last year. So maybe one or two external allocations that are outside of these municipal allocations that Noel just showed you. So it's only happened a couple times, but we have two or three requests that we've received and trying to figure out how do we put a framework around it so that you don't all of a sudden get $100,000 request in, you know, from an outside police agency and wonder, okay, how do I deal with this? You know, and again, an imperfect comparison, but it's sort of like what we were running into with public works and demo requests that all of a sudden we received a slew of them. We said, okay, we have to put a policy around this.
What kind of request are you receiving?
So we received a request for from the Village of Bath for camera at the bus stop because they have noticed a number of activities. They say that, you know, having camera there would be beneficial, and assistance in the purchase of a drone for the City of Corning Police Department. And I think one other.
Basically, Gary, what we had talked about was we had some, I think one, these numbers are going to be off, but one was like 4,500, one was 30,000. At least this is a formula. And then the departments all have skin in the game. You know, if it's a $20,000 project, you know, we're only going to cover, or if they get approved, cover 10. You know, if it's a small project and they want something that's 2,500, it would fall under that. But that was what our discussion was, is so we had a formula of how we could process these. Like when Noel gets a question, Brooks, Jack, anybody gets a question, we have a process to, you know, a formula to work through.
We currently have five requests out there.
Five, okay.
That range between $4,100 for some radios for surveillance vehicles to a drone grant, some shields for first responders, an active shooter kit, because I think we're down one that fits in with our program. Actually, I'm sorry, it's five of those. I apologize that because we've added more SROs throughout the county. That's the big dollar number. That was almost 25,000.
Yeah. And
that fits with the program we are.
And some of those, you know, we'll work through those. It was the external ones that I was kind of focused on when we were doing this. Some of them, if it's a purchase under the sheriff's office, that would be outside of this program. If the sheriff's office for SROs are technically in possession of those, that'd be outside of this
program.
Yeah.
And to be frank, it would make it an awful lot easier for my office, because right now we're fielding requests from law enforcement for money, and we have to come and see you guys. And it's, if they don't get it or they don't get what they want, then it's, they don't know why. So it's a lot easier if they come make an application.
Because we're the bad guys.
Pardon?
We're the bad guys.
Yeah.
You get to be the bad guys and the good guys.
Yeah.
You get to be either That's up to you now. You can decide what you,
yeah, you could change it from the bad guys to now you're the good guys. You have a grant program. Yeah. So
I like the, I like having a format. I like having a capped amount of money. I like having them have skin in the game, unless it's smaller items that's fine.
Yeah.
But any large item, we shouldn't have to fund it 100%. If they think it's that important, they should be funding it partly as well.
All right. Is there any other questions? So exactly what do you want your motion?
So it'd be a motion creating this program, and we'll have a resolution for you, but essentially under the framework that was discussed, 50,000, five awards max per year at $10,000 per award.
Up to 10,000.
Okay. Requires a intermunicipal agreement upon your approval. It would come and then it would be reviewed by this committee, finance, and the full board.
And where are those applications going to come to your office?
To our office. That's how we do public works, even though it's public works, but okay. that way it just comes to us, and you know, we'd obviously make everyone aware.
Jack, can I just ask one question? If we don't, is this guaranteeing $50,000 will go towards this program? Because my concern is, as we've discussed, we've got a pretty scary looming cost out there with our evidence management program and a couple other things that are, you know, these expert witnesses and that kind of stuff that we have traditionally pulled from that number.
Yeah, it would come in from a budgetary standpoint. It would put $50,000 number into that budget, but certainly I think based, and we've talked about some of those other things that are coming, I think we're still going to be
okay,
fine to be able to, you know, when you have to come back and look at those things, we'll be okay.
Okay.
And I think that's one thing with you and Noel giving us these reports to see how we're running. I think that also allows us to make a better decision, because ultimately there's 50,000 in there, but we don't have to.
Well, and we put a caveat in the policy, just like we have for the public works demos, that
we can always say no.
Yeah. And they don't roll over a year.
No, they don't. Right. All right. Yeah. It's not in 2 years, you're going to have 20, right. You know, 10 requests or something.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. No other questions. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. On to assigned counsel.
Yes. So we do have, as you know, we've talked about assigned counsel. We've talked about what ILS has communicated to the county at this point, that they want assigned counsel essentially handled under a separate county department. They've acknowledged again what the way that we've run it with the county attorney's office being the administrator, there was no issues because there are no DSS attorneys in the county attorney's office. But as they again get staffed up, they are looking and coming to every county and telling us how they want things set up, and because they are funding it, they can tell us that. They are making additional dollars available, which we talked about, in the neighborhood of 95. We put out an RFP, as we discussed last month, to see if there were any interested attorneys, law firms in taking this over. We received one response from Hampsey Law Firm LLC from Penian. A number of staff have reviewed it. Like we do all RFPs. When I saw the number at first, my initial take in the first year number is $150,000.
Jesus.
That was my initial take. After thinking about it and you know, talking with Jen about Rochelle's workload, about what would really need to be done, we would essentially, if we internalize it, we'd have to hire two staff, an attorney and a paralegal slash clerk of some sort. So right there, salary alone, we'd be over the 150K. You add benefits on top of it. And my concern is the attorney, if we hire to oversee this, we'd have a heck of a time having them. We might be able to find a part-timer, but that's not a guarantee. And the work, I'm concerned that we would have significant retention issues in this, that not I don't want to downplay this work, but it's processing assignments. It's not it's administrative processes. So I have a fear that if we tried to advertise and we got lucky and we found an attorney and a paralegal or a clerk to do it, that we'd have a hard time retaining them because of the type of work.
And I've seen it in other counties that were funded for the assigned counsel administrator. They last a year or two, and then they go back to the DA's office or the public defender's office, and then they have a vacancy as the assigned counsel administrator. I have a friend that did it in Broome County. He lasted 2 years. It's just very monotonous. It's an administrator management job. So attorneys like to be attorneys. So I think Jack's right in that analysis. It would be a constant turnover.
So I would recommend, and again, we can cancel this contract if need be, but while it's not fully funded by ILS, again, $150,000 for the first year, they will give us 95. We will go back to them and beat them up a little bit,
yep.
Or I will, to try to shake the remainder and try to get this fully funded by state funds, but I can't guarantee you that today.
There's a ton of postage and papers too. I can't even, like, the paper bill and postage has to be 10, 15 grand a year.
So they eat all of that. I would recommend that we give this a try.
So this is total package cost.
That's all in. So, and essentially it's the attorney, the way that the proposal was written, and it was a very short proposal, but it's the attorney, you know, managing, reviewing assignments, interfacing, doing all of those, but a paralegal doing a lot of the functional processing. So it's the all-in cost for the whole service. I think it's worth giving it a shot. I think if we don't, we're going to have a heck of a time trying to find and keep, and it would actually be more expensive than this.
Well, especially if Jen's saying postage is 10 to 15,000, that takes we'd have that cost even if it was
correct.
Good. Yeah.
I only have one question. We have Brooks, we have Sean, and we have Jen in the room. Have any of the three of you ever heard anything bad about the Hempsey firm?
So he's a part, he is the public defender in Yates County, which is a part-time job.
Okay.
The chief defender is a part-time job. So that's what he does. So he does have familiarity with ILS and the grants, because he has to do the same Sean would have to do. His paralegal that he earmarked for this, in his response, was actually, besides Rochelle, who's been running this for years, my paralegal in private practice. So I'm familiar with her. She's very competent.
And that was one of my questions, yeah. Is what information do we have? And does this person and this firm have the expertise? Yep. And by all indications, they do.
Yeah. And so as the transition over should be fairly smooth, I would anticipate, because Rochelle and Jessica worked together for years. So there's not like a lack of familiarity or ability to reach out. They know one another pretty well. So I think that's a plus.
He does do real estate also. This is the same Hempsey.
It is.
And he's got a good reputation.
Excellent. That's really what I wanted to hear. Just
if the state hadn't have jacked up the rates on assigned counsel, would our quote probably not have been $150,000?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. That certainly didn't help it. Certainly didn't help it one bit.
All right. Do we have any other questions for?
This is why I don't like attorneys.
Unless you need them.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have a motion?
I'll move it.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. And then the last item I had for you, memorializing resolution that came from Intercounty, but also was sent to us by NYSAC. We expected that the rescuing local emergency services package that you've seen that NYSAC has been supported was actually going to get passed in conjunction with the budget, but it didn't. They think it still has legs, but they are encouraging counties to chime in. Makes sense. The draft was attached. We certainly would recommend it.
I'll move it.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Is there anything else from anybody? All right. If not, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Carries.